Boulevard Clemson, your independent local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
You represent the government of juvenile delinquents.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
I knew my rent was going to be late about a week ago. I worked my ass off, but I still can't pay it though. But I got just enough to get off in this club and have me a good time before my time is up. Hey, let's get it out.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Thanks to Terrence Oglesby for joining us in hour number two. If you missed that, you're going to want to go back and listen. He had some great insight on this Clemson basketball team that's now 13-1 on the season. You can find that at WCCBFM.com. Click the links to the podcast. Brian Edwards is going to join us in moments as well. This hour is brought to you by Crude LED. If you're looking for LED lighting for your business, but you don't want to pay an arm and a leg, that's okay. I understand that because LED lighting is expensive. If you're a Duke Energy customer, though, Crude LED can hook you up with the lighting that you need. Go to the website, crudeled.com. That's crutled.com. You can visit their office at 109 Interstate Boulevard in Anderson, right before J. Peters on exit 19B, or call them 864-401-8506. That's 401-8506. LED lighting makes your business more productive. It makes it safer. It makes your workers happier. You got to love it. Everything about it, except for the upfront costs, and that's why Crude LED is so amazing. KRUTLED.com. It's a simple process. They'll tell you more about it on the website, KRUTLED.com. Our man Brian Edwards, we haven't visited with him in a couple weeks, and I've been having Brian Edwards withdrawals. But the good thing is, in the meantime, he's been giving us winners, absolute winners. And he joins us right now to talk about some of that. He has been on fire, especially in college hoops, and he joins us. What's up, Brian?
What's happening, guys? Happy New Year. Yeah, I've been giving the winners in college hoops, but I got to blame you guys. I mean, I had a great season, and then then I wasn't on y'all's show for 2 weeks, and I had a bloodbath for the bowl season. Thank goodness your listeners didn't hear my losers, because I had tons of them. It was awful. But now that I'm back on with y'all, I'm sure my luck's been fine in college hoops, but my football was awful down the stretch.
Well, I gotta say, I was under 500 in the bowl games too, and I could have used your advice, but maybe not. Maybe it was just bad for all of us.
No, man, I was bad. I mean, I had some bad luck, but I had some bad picks too. But yeah, I had two QBs go out in the first quarter with ACLs with Northwestern and Thorson, and the FIU quarterback, and Boston College was a bad beat, and it was bad. But I'm doing well in college hoops, 13-3 since December 27th, 5-1 the last two nights, and I got some college hoops for tonight.
All right, very good. We'll get to that in a second. Before we get to your pick for the national championship game, I want to get your thoughts on the two games that we saw, the playoff games, the Georgia-Oklahoma game and the Clemson-Alabama game. Just as an observer there, and maybe one with a little skin in the games as well, your thoughts on what we saw in those two games and how it plays into Monday night?
Instant classic Oklahoma-Georgia, just incredible game, probably one of my top 10 favorite ever, maybe top five. Lincoln Riley's play calling in the first half was incredible, but the squib kick was so not smart and was costly, and Kirby got away with it, but why he spent his first time out before the punt with 3.5 minutes left was so dumb. And when they scored with 55 seconds left, Oklahoma had plenty of time to go get in field goal range, but it worked out for Georgia. Now, with Skins in the game, I wasn't very high on the Oklahoma-Georgia game. I had a very small play on Oklahoma going into it, but I made several in-game plays on Georgia and hammered Georgia at halftime. So I did well in that game because, you know, Georgia was down 14 and they were -3, so that was +11 adjusted, and I had gotten them +10.5 in-game. So that game worked out for me. Then Clemson, I was on Clemson big, did not work out. The defense played well enough to win. The offense was an unmitigated disaster, and Alabama won convincingly, so that one was no good for me.
All right, now, given all that, We're looking ahead to Monday a little bit. Bama is a slight favorite over Georgia. I think 4 points is the spread right now. What's your read on that game as it stands now, still 3 days out, from kickoff?
Well, now that I'm back on with y'all, I think I have my football mojo back, and I love Alabama. And it's because we were gone 2 weeks. I don't even remember if I got a chance to tell you guys this, because they're, or maybe I did, because it was so early in the month that they had these. They had lines out for the four potential finals matchups, and I was saying on radio shows that I loved the Clemson-Alabama winner against either Oklahoma or Georgia, and you could bet it, you know, all this time in December. And I did. And so I was sitting at Clemson -2.5 against either or, and Alabama -3 against either or. So I'm already locked in, although, you know, I still like Alabama at 4, but I'm already locked in at 3. And, you know, I think, you know, Saban and the Tide got their mojo back last week. And I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout by any means, but I think Alabama will win by, I'll say, 2 touchdowns, or, you know, 10 to 14, I think they'll win by.
Brian, I want to ask you this, because you are a Florida Gator and you have a lot of SEC ties and you have your pulse on SEC Nation, right? So as a guy who roots for a team, or at least, you know, follows a team that is in the division with Georgia, are you excited for an all SEC title or title game, or do you just not care that it's all SEC because it's not your team?
Don't really care, but I mean, you know, it's kind of like when Tennessee played FSU in 98. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of hard to root for anybody.
The two but teams I you hate the most.
right. Well, you know, Florida and Alabama have a pretty healthy rivalry. Now, don't get me wrong, we're going through plenty of Alabama fatigue because they've been putting it on us since 08. You know, in my college days, you know, we handled Alabama. We beat them for titles. And whereas Georgia, whenever they get going, they get a little too big for their britches. So just from a fandom standpoint with the Gators, I think most Gators would just assume Alabama win rather than and make Georgia continue to suffer their natty-less lifestyle since Herschel wore number 34.
Wait, Brian, you're telling me that Georgia fans get a little too excited at certain times?
This is the
what?
First time we've heard of this. We've this not is had breaking any of these people news. On our show.
Wow.
Yeah, they get a little big for their pitches. I don't know what our record is against them the last quarter century. I think it beat us maybe 5 or 6 times. But whatever they do, man, they feel good about it. I just assume Bama beat them. That's taking the gambling out of it. I do like Alabama gambling wise, but I think you guys can relate to what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, just a little bit. He is Brian Edwards from VegasInsider.com, the senior handicapper there. BrianEdwardsSports.com. Check him out there. All kinds of great content coming your way from Brian at Vegas B. Edwards on Twitter as well. The over-under in that game is 45, Brian. Does that feel – I mean, I was just kind of thinking about this game. It feels sort of like a – just as I'm sitting right here, like a 24-14, that type of game in favor of Bama. And that's not enough to make a play, right, if you think it's around that level?
Yeah, any college total in the mid-40s, I mean, unless we're talking about a Florida-Vandy game from the last 5 or 6 years where both, you know what I mean? You get a punt return, you get a defensive touchdown, which Alabama's known to do. I mean, overtime could be in play. Just any total in the low to mid-40s, it's hard to take an under in college unless you're just dealing with, you know, just terrible quarterbacks, or which I've been dealing with for 8 years as a Gator fan. But I just think you roll with Bama and stay away from the total is what I think.
Very good. I took one of those totals in the Michigan-South Carolina game, and it looked awesome. Until South Carolina, like, resurrected and scored 1 million points on Michigan's defense. If for our South Carolina listeners out there, first of all, I have no idea what your pick was on that game. I didn't see that one. But your thoughts on what South Carolina did at the end of the year, getting to 9 whole wins and then just destroying that vaunted Michigan defense in the second half for, was it 23 unanswered points?
Well, I thought South Carolina kind of faded down the stretch, especially with the way Clemson dominated them.
Yeah.
But the second half with Michigan gives them a lot of momentum, you know, going into signing day. And look, SEC fans love especially with the way SEC, hell, Mississippi State, it was the only win before that, you know, before the semifinals. So, huge win for Muschamp, huge win for South Carolina. And, I feel great about that pick I hyped on all summer, that over 5.5 wins, they got to 9, and, great momentum for the Gamecocks. Congratulations to them, because Bentley was not playing good in November. So for him to kind of, you know, for them to offensively get a little something going, get Dowdle back from the broken leg. And I don't know if Hayden Hurst is going pro, but if he doesn't, man, they've got a lot of good offensive talent coming back. When you talk about Brian's mama can't spell Edwards and, you know, Dowdle and Turner and, and obviously Debo coming back. That's huge. So it's a big win for South Carolina.
All right, let's head to hoops for a second. 5-1 the last two, 13-3 for you since right after Christmas. So you've been white hot on these things. You like the under in a Cincinnati game, which I think is always a great play. And I watched this Temple team play. They can guard too. I'm shocked the number is 138, Brian. Are you as shocked as I was that number is so high for that Cincy Temple matchup?
Yeah, all Cincy totals should be in the 120s. Anytime you get a mid or upper 130s or certainly anything in the 140s, it's just an automatic under, you know, whether it wins or loses. On the road, the last 65 for Cincinnati, the under is 48-16-1. This is a new thing with Cincy unders. This is going back 5-6 years. This year, they're number 4 in the nation in scoring D. They only give up 59.1 points per game. They're number 6 in field goal percentage D. Opponents shoot 37% from the field. The under's on an 8-2 run for Cincy, under all day.
Brian, you like Maryland tonight, plus 15.5 at Michigan State. Michigan State, the number 1 team in the country. Maryland's not the Maryland they used to be, but you think they can go there and cover that spread?
Yeah, you know, the odds makers are overcompensating. They lost 2 players to season-ending injuries last week, Justin Jackson being the main one, averaging 9.1 points and 8.8 rebounds per game. But that's why Maryland was only a 3.5-point favorite to Penn State on Monday night at home in College Park. I took Maryland that night. Now, it's obviously a quick turnaround, and you got guys playing more minutes with Ivan Bender being the other guy with a season-ending injury. But I made Michigan State 11. It's 15.5. Michigan State's definitely going to win. They'll win by 8-12, in my opinion. I'll go. You know, Maryland's won 7 in a row, and they've covered their last 4 line games. And this is obviously by far their biggest underdog spot of the year. So I like the Terps.
One of the best stories in basketball so far, and frankly, because all their games are on Pac-12 Network and they play at like 1 a.m. and everybody's asleep, is Arizona State and Bobby Hurley, who just lost for the first time against Arizona. You like them to cover as a favorite in Colorado tonight. Are you as in love with the Sun Devils as a lot of the analytics people are?
I sure am. And outside of the other Trey Young at Oklahoma, Trey Holder might be the second best guard in the country for ASU. Bobby Hurley, if we voted for Coach of the Year today, it ought to be unanimous. It should be him. And not only are they 12-1 straight up, but they're 9-1-2 against the spread in all those, except they didn't cover in their opener. And Colorado's really going through a rebuilding year. They lost 3 in a row, both straight up and against the spread. And they're 2-6, both straight up and against the spread. Their last 8. Look, it looks like a big number, but Arizona State has won every single one of their games except for one by double digits, and that includes at Kansas, and that includes Xavier on a neutral court, and it includes when they fell behind 17-0 to Vanderbilt to start the game, and they still won by double digits. I like the Sun Devils.
One of the favorites, a final one for you, Brian. One of the favorites in the Sun Belt is UT Arlington. They've crashed the tourney party before and really been a team that's a force to be reckoned with. They have struggled lately, though, with 5 losses in their last 7. You like them to cover as a 7-point home favorite against Troy. Why is that?
Well, they finally get back home. Scott Cross, he always schedules an extremely difficult non-conference schedule. Now, they did just lose their first 2 Sun Belts on the road, but their stud, Kevin Hervey, who averages 21.7 points per game and shoots at a 47% clip from the field, he had foul trouble the last game, and he went 3 of 11 from the field. And then the other game, he went 5 of 20 from the field. So let's do the math there. Was that 8 of 31 for a guy who shoots 47% from the field? he gets back home. He's ready to make it up to his teammates. They've also got Eric Neal, point guard. He was leading the nation in assists a couple weeks ago, but Trae Young overtook him. I think he's third now. He scored 27 at App State the other night. I think Eric Neal and Hervey will get back going tonight, and Scott Cross will be a coach at a Power 5 school in the next 3 to 5 years. I'll lay the points with UT Arlington against Troy, which is 6.5 or 7.
I don't blame you on that. He is Brian Edwards, VegasInsider.com, BrianEdwardsSports.com, @VegasBEdwards on Twitter. Brian, it's been too long. We appreciate a chance to have you on. Quickly, before we go, you didn't give any NFL numbers. Are those numbers too – they're a little bit big for me this weekend. Are you buying that the numbers are a little big for a playoff game? I think all four are like a touchdown or more.
Well, I'm leaning KC on their like 8, 8.5 to the Titans, but I love the Falcons. I think the Falcons are going to win outright, and I will. Yeah, I know I talk bad about them in September, and they had a great year. But come on, man, Buffalo +9 at the Jags, please. I'll be on the Bills, but I like the Falcons better. And good to hear y'all's voices again. Happy New Year to you and your listeners. And a new Games Galore pod came out yesterday. It's on BrianEdwardsSports.com if any of your listeners want to check it out.
You won't regret checking out that Games Galore podcast. That thing is awesome. Thanks, Brian. We appreciate it, my man. I look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Sounds great. See y'all. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. Happy New Year to you. That's Brian Edwards from VegasInsider.com. Really glad to have him back on Talking Vegas with us. That's outstanding.
Elite guest today, frankly.
In our final two segments, you want to talk about this Southern problem in college football?
Yeah, we got a little bit of a Southern problem, Kwok. We need to talk about it.
You've got tiers of ACC teams, too. We might be able to get to some of that. Yes. I've got some crunch the numbers as well.
Tiers, T-I-E-R-S, not tiers, T-E-A-R-S.
That might be interesting tomorrow, because I want to see where you have Louisville in that. In your tiers at ACC. Can we bump that to tomorrow?
Sure.
And get a little Southern Prob and a little crunch of numbers when we come back.
Let me just tell you the names of the tiers real quick.
Okay.
The first tier is called the top tier.
Okay.
The second tier is called threats.
The Duke tier.
The third tier is called tournament teams.
And the fourth tier is the...
Is the sorry people.
Is the... We have 9 home games.
It's a...
We could go 9-9.
I can tell you the sorry ones right now. Do you want to hear them?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't.
There's 4 of them.
Did one of them brag about how they don't pay recruits?
Yeah.
Did one of them win last night against the
rankings? Yes, one of them won. One of them won last night.
Let me see if I get
the other
one.
Two of them won.
Let me see if I get the other one.
There's
4 of them? Oh, man. Who are some of the other ones? Who are the other two? We can't go to break until I do this. I got to guess them.
One of them Clemson already beat this year.
NC State. Mm-hmm. They lost by 1 million. And then the other one won last night. Who else won?
They won at home.
Who else won last night?
Their coach is a former college basketball great.
Who won? Oh, Danny Manning!
Yeah.
Yes. We got all the 4. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds. Hour 3 continues in a moment.
Are you planning a new plant or manufacturing addition? How about a new commercial center? Or does your existing building roof leak more than it keeps out? Give us a call at Metal Building Supply, 295-0506, or come by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont and talk to George or Kevin about our solutions and the contractors we work with. We have the materials, systems, and contractors to make sure your business plans are successful. And remember, go Tigers, and stay tuned to The Roar for more information on your construction needs.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee, pick up a box for your business or church meeting, share them with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Recently, I sat down with my friend Jana Candler, who is a new and upcoming realtor in the upstate. Jana, I know you recently got into the real estate business, so give me some of your stats.
Well, I started back in May, and I have had 8 closings since May, so that's pretty good here in the real estate market. I'm also working with several new clients right now. I think that being new gives me the ability to spend a little more time with people and really find what they are looking for and just take good care of them.
Break it down for me, Jana. Where are you buying and where are you selling these homes?
pretty much all over the upstate. I recently sold two houses here in Clemson, and the rest have been in the Greenville area. But I service all over the upstate.
How can people reach you?
You can call me today at 313-6990 or visit my Facebook page at Jana Candler Properties. There's a couple of videos in there that will tell you a little bit more about me, as well as a video of what I do when I list a home. Jana Candler Properties, putting the real in real estate.
Hi, this is Leah from Local Q, letting you know that our draft selection just got even bigger. With 25 rotating beers on tap, you are sure to find the perfect fit. Come in and try something new while you enjoy a game of Scrabble or Connect Four with a friend. Each month, we feature a different brewery and host tap takeover events. So be sure to check out Untapped or LocalQ.com to keep up with our rotation. Swing through today and see what we have featured this month. Local Q, the place to connect for beer, barbecue, and board games.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 16% or less than 6%? The answer is obvious. LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.49% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to LightStream.com/sports. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 16% APR, LightStream could save you thousands in interest. And because LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to LightStream.com/sports. That's LightStream.com/sports. LightStream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Available when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Advertised rates, terms, and promotions are subject to change without notice. Conditions and limitations apply. Visit LightStream.com for important terms and conditions.
Vans cost less than travelers rest. Save up to $6,000 on 2017 Transit vans at George Coleman Ford. They have a great selection, and they never charge any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford. If you or your company are looking for a workhorse van designed to get the job done, a 2017 Transit van from George Coleman Ford is what you need. George Coleman Ford, where vans cost less than travelers rest, and they never charge any dealer fees.
On the quirky side, it's Out of Bounds.
I don't know about you, but I'm having a ball.
Now, back to William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
It's too hard to sleep. I got the sheets on the floor, nothing on me. And I can't take it no more, it's 100 degrees. I got one foot.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hour three continues. Couple of great guests today with Terrence Ogles being hour two and then Brian Edwards right there talking a little about the spread.
And Big O.
And Big O. Before, we love Big O. We love Big O. Didn't know what he was talking about with Kiffin, though. Had no idea what he was talking
about. Big O's exact words on the phone before I put him on hold. Why are y'all talking about basketball? I didn't know it was basketball season yet.
Why is Big O not in basketball season? Your
Tennessee's
team, your team is basically ranked, and your football team is a disaster, a woeful disaster that had to turn down 40 candidates, some of which were just because the AD everyone hated picked them. They were perfectly fine candidates. You went to candidate number 49 before you hired somebody, and Big O wants it to be football again. I would be trying to postpone football. Stay in the moment, Big O. Don't be going to signing day. Don't be going to September, where your little riffraff program, the little has-been program from the 90s, is going 6-6 again with Nick Saban's assistant.
6-6 would be a vast improvement.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
You know where Big O needs to go? He needs to go watch the Lady Vols play. Because they're back.
Yeah.
They're back.
They're back. They're good. They've lost once, right? I think they've lost one time.
They're back. Fine. I mean, not back.
It took some time.
Not
there were some
Candace Parker, Shamik Holtzclaw back. Not back, back, but back.
They were gone though. So back. Yeah. The standard for back has been.
Remember when they fell out of the rankings for the first time since 1890?
Yeah. Yeah. It was big time since like Chester serious. A. Arthur's presidency, yeah, or whatever. Let's go to before women could vote. They were apparently given scholarships for basketball, right? Okay. Before we talk about football's southern problem, let's go to Georgia Greg. First of all, I don't know that I even agree with Kelly on this, but I'm going to let her try to convince
me.
Okay. Let's go to Georgia Greg. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I am. I'm doing great. Hey, first of all, I want to say, just as a you get a calls from a lot of fans from different schools, and I think your station, you should realize how appreciative I am of that, because a lot of local stations that cover their university don't open up to outside discussions about other teams, you know, on a national scope, on a southeastern scope. And I think that's why you do get a lot of listeners and callers in from different schools. And so I definitely want to give you props for that.
Well, thank you, Greg. We appreciate that.
Yeah. And you and I have had some good tweets back and forth this year.
Yes, we have.
I did want to say one thing. I have to correct Big O about a couple of things. First of all, Pruitt didn't go 2-1 against Clemson because Smart was the defensive coordinator on the first round one of the trilogy.
Very good.
So just to correct him about that. One other thing I want to say, and you said this, and you know, I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, that's a good point. Our leadership for our team this year are Mark Richt recruited players. That's true. So I'm so excited about looking at the classes that Smart's bringing in and moving forward. That bodes well for our future moving forward, I think. When you said that, I thought about that. I was like, you're right. But what he's bringing in addition, kind of taking it to a different level, especially with the offensive linemen and what Georgia tried to transform into years ago by bringing in all the running backs was being a power running football team. Well, they weren't really recruiting the linemen to kind of match their backs. And he's done a really good job both last year and this year of recruiting the players he needs in order to have that identity. You know, you speak a lot of identities, and I think that's important for that. Monday, we're going up against a team that's playing for their sixth national championship in 10 years. And, well, not their sixth, but playing in the national championship game out of the past 10 years. And it's going to be a tremendous challenge for us. I understand why Brian said that, you know, he expects a 10 to 14 point game. And I think they are more talented in most positions. If you look at the recruiting over the past years, Alabama is always number one. I think for the first time in a long time, two teams, Georgia and Clemson, are going to finish ahead of Alabama with five-star recruits. And I think that bodes well for both our programs moving forward. But we are a little behind the gun. I don't know your take on this, Quok. It's going to come down to one thing, because we've got adequate backs. We've got adequate playmakers. We've got good enough lines of scrimmage. I think one thing that is overlooked, agree with what you said when we talked last week, Oklahoma's one of the best offenses, a different breed than we've ever faced. One thing I think is overlooked with the Georgia team, the back seven for Georgia, not the defensive line. I think the defensive line's adequate, but it's definitely not Clemson or Alabama defensive line. There may be a top 10, top 15 defensive line. Our back seven, if you noticed, Mayfield never could throw a bomb against us like they typically throw two or three. Our back seven is better than people think.
Sometimes. That's right.
And they're fast, they're big, they're physical. Our outside linebackers, Roquan Smith, you see them, but you don't see Dominique Sanders and Baker and them as much. But they play hard and they cover well. And I think that was the one thing that maybe kept us in from them just running off with it. We gave up a lot of runs early. We might have been just overemphasizing not giving up the deep pass, and I think we pushed it in a little in the second half when we felt like we could contain their receivers, and that helped us stop their running game, which was killing us in the first half. You and I like talking stats, strategies, and all that, so there's so many things I could talk about in that game that happened and going forward, but to me, the one thing that is going to come down to Monday night, and I wanted your opinion on this, Jake Fromm looks like he could be a guy that can play quarterback for a lot of years because he can read defenses. He's smart as a whip. He might, I don't know how much more physically he'll grow and build over the years, but if he is that guy, if he's the guy that really can read defenses this young in age, maybe he can overcome the talent that Alabama faces us on defense. we just, I mean, I see if we win, it's going to be a 30 to 24 game. I see that's what's going to, we're going to, we'll beat Alabama if the flow goes with the offense. If our speed guys, if teams start trading touchdowns, if it's a no scoring game either way, I see them putting a couple scores up, kind of like they did against y'all and us not really being in it. So just my thoughts on it. I'd love to hear your opinion on some of the things I said, but I always like talking to y'all guys. And I know I'm just a unrealistic Georgia fan, Colin, but I'm just excited. I know we're the craziest fan base in the world, but I'm excited to death that we actually are playing for the championship Monday.
I hear you, Greg. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. And you are a reasonable, I want to say, you're
Georgia,
a reasonable
Greg,
representative
you call
of Georgia.
Anytime.
Yeah. More of you and less of everybody else. How about that?
Good talking to y'all as always. And I'll call you next week. I hope it's a great discussion. But either way, I'm ecstatic where we did. And hopefully, you know, where we're going, Alabama is who they are and going to stay that way. And we're always going to have to try and fight to get out of the conference just to play above them. I think y'all are in great position right now. I think y'all are the second best program in the nation regardless. But the way the ACC is looking, I mean, the next 3 years or so, y'all should easily run the table to get to the playoffs. And I hope we're right there behind y'all nipping, working our way up to y'all. So. Before I see things.
I think there's a good chance of that, Greg. Appreciate the phone call.
Take care.
Thanks very much. You do the same. There was some really good stuff there from Greg. Really good points. A couple things I want to point out. First of all, if I haven't gotten too much into this game because I want to actually make my pick before I do my analysis, because I think this game is very simple. Nick Saban doesn't lose to his assistants, and so I'm going to – and Georgia – Alabama's also very – like, they are used to being in this spot, and their staff is used to being in this spot, and their players used to being in this spot. And Georgia, other than Kirby and some of the assistants, like, they just, like, the players have not played a game of this magnitude against a program who is familiar, like Alabama is, with this particular stage.
To be fair, Nick Saban doesn't lose to anybody.
Correct.
So.
He definitely destroys his former set.
He's literally lost to Dabo Sweeney and Hugh Freeze. And. Urban Meyer.
By the way, did you see the story about Freeze? Where
what did he do now?
Les Miles is in talks to be the coach at Arizona potentially, and he said that he might hire Hugh Freeze as his OC if he goes there. That's a real thing that's being reported on the internet, the interweb right now.
So Arizona fired Rich Rod because they didn't like how he was leading their program, but let's hire Hugh Freeze.
Hey, and we think Hugh Freeze is faithful to his wife, and he will go to church, doggone it.
Is he going to have one or two phones?
I'm gonna put
that
him on
is
the
my
cover
question.
FCA magazine.
One or two phones.
Just saying. I would take Georgia's defense over Bama's.
You would?
Yes. And I think what Greg said is accurate, that I think the back seven, particularly the secondary of Georgia, probably doesn't get enough credit. The best player in the game is probably Minkah Fitzpatrick for Bama. I think defensively, but Roquan Smith is right there.
Yeah.
Roquan Smith is really good. He made some individual plays that people shouldn't be able to make against Oklahoma to stop them a couple times, where it was much like we talked about Dorian O'Daniel, like he's the guy, he's Johnny on the spot and he's got to make a play. Roquan Smith was Johnny on the spot and just made a play. Like he's the MVP of that defense and he's really, really good. I think I would take their 1-11 over Bama's 1-11. And I probably would take Georgia's run game over Bama's.
That's the weirdest sentence to say, is you would take someone else's running backs over Alabama.
Hey, you know something? I probably would take Georgia's passing game over Bama's, too.
Would you take Jake Fromm over Jalen Hurts?
And so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, with all that in mind, I still think Bama's going to win by 10. Because that's just what happened. Because I watched a Bama team that I didn't think was any better than the other teams Clemson played with their hair on fire and destroy a team that's really good just a few days ago.
I think it's I don't know, it's not hard to get up for a national championship, duh, but can Bama play with that same intensity they played against Clemson?
Because, yes.
There was a hatred there.
There was, and also there's going to be this thing where, like, Georgia won the SEC and Bama didn't want to win. Like,
there's fuel for the fire for sure.
Look, if Tony Brown could make believe that Hunter Renfrow and Dabo Swinney are liars, then he could probably convince himself whatever he wants to convince himself of Like, it ain't hard for that guy.
Hunter didn't apologize to me.
He a lie. I don't know what Tony Brown's issue was, but regardless of that, he convinced himself that Hunter Renfrow and Dabo Swinney are like destined for one of the deepest, darkest circles of hell. Then I think he could probably convince himself that Georgia should be hated too for winning the SEC
Alabama thinks
is birthright. So, you know, regardless of all that, I just saw Alabama play out of their minds. And I would take Georgia, here's how I'll say it. I would take Georgia's defense, except for maybe the front. I'd probably take Alabama's front. But I'd take Georgia's linebackers over Bama's. I'd take Georgia. I might take Bama's secondary over Georgia's, but it's not that big a gap, I don't think. And I think I would take Georgia's offense over Bama's. But in a national championship game, I think I'm taking Alabama's team over Georgia's team. Yeah. And that seems crazy because I just gave Georgia a lot of advantages in the game. But there are so many things about being on this stage in this spot that I would give to Bama. I would give the edge in preparation to Bama, in motivation to Bama, in familiarity to Bama, in the way you feel about yourself. I think Bama would feel really good about itself going into the game, playing with a lot of confidence and swagger. And history works in Bama's favor in this case, too.
The thing with Georgia, when you talk about playing Bama in a national title, and when you think about how Georgia, this is their first time playing for one in a very long time, and there's a lot of parallels. People have making the comparison to Georgia trying to get to the mountaintop and making the same rise as Clemson, which I think there are some parallels. You brought up how it's kind of different because Georgia's coming off an 8-win year. They haven't had the multiple 10-win seasons, blah, blah, blah. But my point is, it took Clemson 2 tries. Very rarely, it's very difficult to beat Bama in your first try on a national championship stage with, like you said, a disciple of Saban who's only in year 2. It just seems unlikely, right?
Wasn't it like 4 or 5 years ago when Georgia thought they had the exact team to beat Bama and they hosted them and Bama was an underdog going into the game and Bama
beat
them
less than 4 or 5. That was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. What year was that?
I can't remember.
When Bama destroyed
them in Athens. It was like 41-10 and
not even
close.
I'm going to find out what year that was because it seems more recent than that.
That was the last time Georgia had a chance to use Bama as a measuring stick. Without being a double-digit underdog in an SEC championship, they knew they were going to lose, which is, within the last few years. I mean, that's kind of a big deal there. Short break. We'll come back 3 years ago. Dog fan on the text line. 3 years ago.
That was 2014?
Yeah. 3 years ago, Georgia hosted Bama.
Didn't Grayson Lambert play for
September?
Didn't he start for Georgia in that game?
Probably. Thanks, Mark Rick. I've been an apologist for Mark Rick, but that's terrible. 3-4 years ago, whatever it was. Stay with us. Final segment. We'll get is college football too Southern? And then I got like a million numbers, and we'll just like sift through them somehow. And we'll talk about some nonsense. Plus, I got some of the stuff about Rich Rod. I just need to amend my statement from yesterday. I'm not going to go all into it, but I need to amend my statement from yesterday.
2015, Bama 38, Georgia 10 in Athens.
There we go. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in just a moment.
Join Walt Deptula's Road Rage at Twin Peaks this Thursday for some awesome food, drinks, and of course the scenic views. Get sports delivered to you like only Walt can do. And enjoy the cold beer and the HD TVs live this Thursday at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
CMH Services has again been recognized as an MVP dealer by the material handling industry's leading trade organization, MHEDA, for 5 consecutive years. In earning the award, CMH Services demonstrated excellence in the areas of industry advocacy, customer service and safety, business networking, continuing education, and business best practices. Get award-winning material handling solutions at CMH Services. Call 800-922-9569. That's 800-922-9569.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. The South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles is now accepting documents for you to change your current card to a federally approved Real ID. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a Real ID license online next year. Required documents on file with the SCDMV. Driving privileges in good standing. a regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
You've heard folks talk about the sauce at Joe's New York Pizza. I'm here to tell you it is the sauce that makes the lasagna so great. Believe me, I know lasagna, and Joe's New York Pizza lasagna is my favorite. Their homemade marinara sauce, beef, ricotta, and mozzarella cheese loaded with their special spices. The lasagna at Joe's New York Pizza, which comes with a salad and those famous garlic knots, is where it's at. Seneca or Clemson, make it Joe's New York Pizza for lasagna with the sauce.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 3838 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 3838.
Whether you're a sole proprietor or your company employs several hundred people, Kiwi Financial Group advises on small group retirement plans and insurance benefits. Whether you are looking to start a plan or if you already have a plan, the independent advisors at Kiwi Financial Group will do a comprehensive review of your small group needs and recommend your best options. Discover successful employee benefit strategies with Kiwi Financial Group in Clemson. Call them today at 654-5043.
Cars cost less than travelers rest. Get a 2017 Focus SE four-door sedan for just $14,999 after rebates, plus tax and tag. They never charge any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less than travelers rest. Save big on a 2017 Focus SE four-door sedan right now at George Coleman Ford. Nearly 19 years in business, taking care of customers like you. Cars cost less than travelers rest, and they never charge any dealer fees.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
I was being sarcastic.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
All the single ladies, 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 all the single ladies. Now put your hands up.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. I can't wait for tomorrow. Your tears of the ACC. We can talk a little ACC hoops going into the weekend. I can't wait for that. That's going to be great. Also, more talk on Georgia-Alabama. And I will do a little bit of an analysis because what I just said, I just contradicted myself 100%. Total contradiction when I said that I would take Georgia in many respects over Alabama this year. And yet, I'm going to take Bama to win the game. I got to get to a conclusion first, and then regardless of the evidence, I got to stick with what I know because of the overarching factor that Saban wins this, and he does, and you're not beating him the first time, like you said.
It's a contradiction, but I think a lot of people who have followed college football completely understand why you would say that. Even if you have logical reasons why you'd pick Georgia, you still would pick Alabama. I totally get it, and I feel the same way. I feel the exact same way. There's a lot of really good reasons to pick Georgia, and I think Georgia has advantages on many places on the field. I just do not think Alabama's going to lose this game. That's the bottom line.
Also, on tomorrow's show, we'll talk NFL playoffs, even though all the games are touchdown spreads. Your count has totally changed when I said that. You're just so sad about it.
I was kind of sad.
You're just so sad about it. You were like.
I went, what?
You were talking about college football. Dad said, we're going to talk about playoffs tomorrow. And you went, oh. I can see it on
I
your
might
face.
Be sick. Just kidding.
Man.
I mean,
Texter says NFL is the biggest event this weekend. Forget basketball till March, man. First of all, that's stupid. That's a stupid opinion to have. I don't say many opinions are stupid. That's a dumb opinion.
Yeah.
First of all. Second of all, the NFL is not the biggest thing this weekend. It's not. Like here? Clemson, South Carolina? No.
Hey, the president's going to the national championship game.
Boy.
He's not going to Buffalo, Jacksonville.
If you count Monday as a weekend, the Coastal National Championship game will be a better game than any of the playoff games, NFL playoff games.
Clark, I don't know about you, but I would prefer that we spend two segments tomorrow strictly on Buffalo, Jacksonville. Please.
Did you know that Buffalo, this is one of my numbers, but I won't even go there. Buffalo, 17 years since they've been in the playoffs.
I know.
Jacksonville, 9 years. The Rams, 12 years.
Did you know Buffalo had the longest playoff streak of missing the playoffs in professional sports?
Yes.
Regardless of the league?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Do you know who the leader is now?
Is it not the Browns?
Okay, it's the Browns. How many years?
Okay, so it took Buffalo 17 years. So the last time they made it was
which somebody
01.
Would say never. Well, for the Browns, you'd be like, never.
The Browns
never,
made the playoffs in like 03, I'm guessing.
I think Derek Anderson was the starting quarterback last time they made the playoffs.
Did you not have the year? Did you have me guess and you didn't know the year?
I know the year.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess 03.
Oh, that's 14. 14 years. That's correct. 14.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. This hour is brought to you in all its glory. Oh, we're not doing that yet? We'll wait a second on it. Also, Kelly, you can tell us why college football is a Southern problem.
Yeah.
Are we going to be able to do that and crunch the numbers?
I'm going to just throw it out there.
Okay.
In this final segment.
More
and just if it sticks, if anyone is with me, we'll go with it. If not, we'll just let it die.
Okay.
Solid. Much like the Pac-12 has died in the past 10 years over about football. In regards to football. That's kind of my point.
This hour is brought to you by Harrys.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Harry's is going to change your 2018 experience. There's nothing, no two ways around it. It will. If you'll just let it. If you'll just let it go. Let go. Whatever raise you've been using for 20 years. Give me that. Give me Elsa.
Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah, don't stick with the razor that's giving you the halfway product. Don't stick with a company that's not giving you the best shave. Harry's is the best shave, and they're doing it for a fraction of the cost of drugstore brands. They want you to start for free, absolutely free. Just cover the shipping when you sign up. You get the weighted ergonomic handle, the blades, lubricating strip trimmer blade, 5 precision engineered blades, should say that. Rich lathering shave gel, the convenient travel blade cover, 100% quality guarantee. And in addition to all that for free, just cover the shipping costs. As a special offer for fans of the show, go to Harrys.com right now and enter the code OOB at checkout to get that soothing post-shave balm also free. That's Harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. And the code, once again, is OOB. Finally, before we get to crunch the numbers, I'm just going to fly through some numbers at the end of the show, but your take on college football's too Southern.
Well, if you need to do crunch numbers, we can wait.
That's okay. I'll tell you what, tease it out, and then we'll talk about more tomorrow.
All right.
And,
I personally have no problem with college football being dominated by strictly Southern schools.
You're darn right.
Because, yeah, exactly. because we live here, and we love it, and we're absolutely enthralled by it, and it dominates this part of the country. We know that. That's never going to change. My point is, and that's why you have a texter saying the NFL is the biggest thing this weekend, because does random average Joe in Seattle care about Georgia-Bama?
No.
Does average Joe in, not even just a big city, does average Joe in small town Colorado care about Georgia-Bama? Does average Joe in small town Indiana care about Georgia-Bama?
I would say probably not, but here's another thing. I think the NFL is, it's kind of like voting. Like we're voting, you hear this thing all the time where like the Democrat Party gets a bunch of votes, but all the votes are on the, like on the coast and a little bit
yeah,
of northern Midwest.
I know what you're saying.
Like that's, so like all your Jason Aldean flyover states, they care, they're, it's all red, right? And so you think, look at all this country that's red, but nobody lives there. Where the people are is what cares about the NFL. The majority of places in the country, I think, care about college football, college basketball,
yes,
more than pro sports, but the high population parts are pro towns.
No, and I completely agree with that, but and I think you can apply this logic to Bama Clemson as well. I'm not picking on the SEC here. I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm talking about teams that are, I'm talking geography strictly.
Right.
Teams that are in the Southeast. Clemson and Alabama are divided by 320 miles. Tuscaloosa and Athens are like 250. It's such a small radius, and it's the same area of the country. And in the last 10 years, Kwok, I'm going back to 2008 because I'm counting this year because you're going to have a champion that's from the Southeast. 9 of the 10 champions were from the South. There's one team outside of the South that has won a national championship, and they're all in the Southeast.
Right.
Because Texas was all the way back in 05. LSU isn't even in here, and they're still the Southeast. Ohio State's the only one. You had Florida, Bama, Auburn, Bama, Bama, Florida State, Ohio State, Bama, Clemson, Bama, or Bama or Georgia. But, I mean, obviously it's more of a Bama problem. But even the teams that they're playing, 14 of the 20, if you're going to have 20 participants in 10 national championship games, 14 of the 20 teams are from the Southeast. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
So overall, I just think that college football, because it has this, quote, Southern problem, it suffers nationally because you're just not going to get, it is much more likely that someone in the West will watch a game, a national championship game, if Southern Cal is involved. It is much more likely that someone in the Midwest will watch a national championship game if Ohio State or Notre Dame or Wisconsin or Michigan are involved. That's my overall point. It is much more likely that the Midwest will watch if Oklahoma's involved. Even we're talking Big 12 teams here.
So I don't think you're going this far, but are you saying that there's a danger here that college football could be like upside down hockey, where the people that care about it are in a certain pocket of the country, and then there's more casual interest everywhere else?
Now, I think college football is much more ingrained in American culture than hockey, and maybe some people disagree with that. And also, I mean, I'm from the South, so that's part of it too. But I think it could become a thing where you're just not really relevant on the West Coast. Now, part of that is obviously the problem that the Pac-12 has fallen off, and there's nothing college football can really do about it. You can't blame Bama that Southern Cal is no longer relevant nationally, right? You can't blame Bama that Oregon fell off completely, that kind of thing. But I think, and here's what I would contrast it with, just real quickly, Quark. In the 90s, as a decade, 5 of the 10 national champions were from the South. That's half. Colorado won a national title. Washington won a national title. Miami, which is you know, geographically in the South, but they played in the Big East, and we know about how they're, I mean, that's not a Southern school is my point. Florida State, Nebraska, Florida, Michigan, Tennessee, Florida State. Much more, a lot of more of the map is covered in the 90s.
You know what it tells me? It tells me that the more games we play that directly relate to a championship, the more likely it is that good football is being played in the South. You know what I'm saying? Like, as we've started deciding on the field rather than, well, you get a championship because the poll said so.
Sure.
Like, with the advent of the BCS in the last 20 years, it has proven that there's more likely quality football being played in the South than it's likely anywhere else, except for, you know, 5 or 6 years USC, 5 or 6 years Ohio State, a few years Texas, a couple times Oklahoma. But more likely than not, the South is going to have somebody. It doesn't need
somebody.
That one. Somebody from the South is going to be good.
And maybe it's not a problem. Maybe it's just how it is. You know, it's how it's going to be. But I just think it's unfortunate that college football, to me, is the most exciting sport in the country. And it's hard for a good portion of the country to care about it because they don't have a team
right
from their area. And, I mean, part of it is, I'm looking at you, Southern Cal. What's your deal? Oregon? Washington, Ohio State, Texas. You got to be relevant. Otherwise, these teams from this small pocket of the country are just going to keep winning.
Let's talk about what college football can do to fix that tomorrow. Let's
deal.
Do that. All right. We're crunching numbers right now, and I don't even need the music because we're just going to bounce around these topics. You ready? I don't even want to get into these. 3 minutes left. 10 is a number. That's the millions of dollars Dave Aranda is going to make in 4 years as the defensive coordinator at LSU. $2.5 million a year, all guaranteed to be the coordinator. If he had left for Texas A&M, which people thought was going to happen yesterday and the day before until last night, it became apparent that he was staying at LSU, then that would mean Ed Orgeron, after kind of a disappointing year and that disappointing loss where he flubbed it up at the end of the game against Notre Dame, loses both coordinators. That is not good. And so this is like the only way that Orgeron doesn't get fired in the next 2 years is keeping Aranda, who's a baller. The next number is 19. That's the number of minutes played by Isaiah Thomas on Tuesday, but he couldn't play any minutes on Wednesday because apparently an average of 9.5 minutes over 2 games is exactly what he needed. There's so much conspiracy theory.
He's working his way back.
There's nothing worse that you can do to a person and make them play 2 days in a row in the NBA. That is just cruel and unusual punishment. Sarah McLachlan is going to start doing commercials for guys that have to play back-to-back nights in the NBA.
He played the whole playoffs hurt. I'm not really buying that. I don't look at Isaiah Thomas and say, why aren't you playing? He played the whole playoffs hurt.
Would you agree that not playing the back-to-back is the most
mamby-pamby?
I agree with all that. Do you agree that not playing back-to-backs is the most frou-frou, mamby-pamby thing that anybody whines about in sports?
Not when a player's coming off a serious injury.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's old.
Oh, I have to do my job 2 days in a row?
Nope.
Oh, my, can't do it.
Also, I think Isaiah wanted to play. I don't think the doctors were going to let him.
They,
or the Cavs.
he needs to play. The next number is 22. That's a margin for grambling over Alabama State in women's basketball
last
night.
Did you see this?
Not the story. Shekyla Hill, 15, 10, 10, and 10. A quad dub. Get some of that.
That's insanity. A quadruple double.
First time in 25 years this happened in the women's game. Only the fourth time ever. Next is 152. That's the number of points for Trey Young in the last five games. That's over 30 a game. He also has 68 assists during that time, which is an average of 13.6 assists. Five double.